There's one common experience we all have, and that is loneliness. You can be in a crowd and be lonely. You can be in a marriage and be lonely. And if you live long enough, you can outlive all of your family and have nobody left but some nieces and nephews. I know some people like that. It's a very lonely way to live. Recent national survey revealed 61% of young people. It's so ironic, this sermon was done 3 weeks ago. Young people ages 18 to 25 feel lonely frequently and or almost all the time. And it's not just young people. It's married people who no longer talk, who don't feel loved by each other. It's parents and grandparents who live alone. They don't see their children or their grandchildren who've moved away. Or when they visit, they have to go back to their lives. And they're left in their homes quiet. It's making a phone call to the one you love, and they never call you back. Now, whether we admit it or not, we all deal with some loneliness. We all know the sting of loneliness. Now, people try to escape it, and they try everything. They're constantly on their phones. They're constantly working, staying busy all the time, always going on trips. There's always sound. There's always music playing. There's always a TV going. There's a computer app that you love to play. And if you're busy, you don't have to deal with that lonely feeling inside. Or controlling our environment around us. If we control our environment around us, we stay distracted and we find a temporary escape from loneliness. But you can't escape it completely. And it doesn't matter how much wealth you have. It doesn't matter how much success you have. You can't fill the void of a lonely heart. It's weak and it's a vulnerable feeling. Well, this whole sermon series has been about recognizing that when we're weak, God is strong. And godly people have experienced feeling isolated and alone. Jesus himself was isolated and alone when he was tempted in the desert. He also was tired and he was also hungry. So today we finish our series with the Apostle Paul as he nears the end of his life. And 2 Timothy chapter 4 is where we'll be today. The first part, verse 1. This is a very inspiring section for preachers. And he speaks so solemnly. He says, in the presence of God, I want to give you this charge. And this is to his son in the faith, Timothy. And he tells him to preach the word and to proclaim Jesus and to do it with gentleness and patience and care. And he warns Timothy that the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Let me just say, we're there. We are there. This is exactly where we're at right now. He tells him he's going to face hardship. Verse 6, Paul says, his life is coming to an end. One translation says, the time has come to sail away. Paul's in prison. He's awaiting trial for his faith. And he knows that it's nearing time for his execution. So I want you to listen to these inspiring words. And this is in verses 7 and 8, 2 Timothy 4. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. Not only me, but all those who have longed for his appearing. Paul describes his spiritual journey with Jesus with athletic words. He says, I have fought the good fight. That word literally means agony. He describes it as a race. He kept the faith. He had been true to Jesus. He had been faithful in his doctrine. And he's waiting to see Jesus. He's waiting to be awarded eternal life. And to me, as I'm reading this, it kind of seems like right here is where you would end the letter. But not Paul. Paul has heartfelt words and goodbyes, and he's very vulnerable. And you know, and maybe you've felt this in your life and you've seen this, when somebody dies, we like to think back to the last thing they said, the last conversation that they have. I've had friends die, I've got on my phone and I looked at the last time we talked, and I look at the last text message that we shared. And this is what we're reading today. Paul needs physical and emotional care and compassion as he faced the end. Do you mean the Apostle Paul dealt with loneliness? Well, let's listen to these words, and this is in verses 9 through 13 of our chapter. Do your best to come to me quickly, for Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, and Titus, Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you because he's helpful to me and my ministry. I sent Tychicus to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I have left with Carpus and Troas and my scrolls, especially my parchments. As we study these words, I see three ways to face loneliness and abandonment. The first way is to reach out for help. Paul is writing to his young son in the faith, Timothy, a preacher. Paul had been his mentor. He had been his voice of wisdom. He had been guiding Timothy through ministry. And they spent so much time together on missionary travels. And now Paul tells him, please come quickly. There's a sense of urgency. If you read on in the chapter, Paul, and we're going to read this a little bit into the sermon, we read that he already had one legal appearance and no one was there to support him. The people that had been there for Paul earlier, when he was in prison before, they were no longer there. One man's name was Crescens. He had gone to Galatia. We don't know anything about Crescens. Then he mentions Titus, who went to Dalmatia. He had been one of Paul's biggest helpers. He was a Gentile. Apparently, he was caught on to ministry somewhere else. The only one left with Paul is Luke. And Bible says he was a physician. Paul tells Timothy, come quickly and bring Mark. We're going to talk a little bit more about Mark. But if you jump down to verse 21, he says, come before winter. Because that's when the shipping lanes got shut down. But Paul also tells Timothy to bring some things with him. Bring my cloak, the scrolls, and especially the parchments. Not only is Paul lonely, but he's cold. People in the first century didn't have a closet full of clothing. They didn't. It was unusual for somebody to have two or three changes of clothing at this time. So a cloak was like a poncho. It was like a heavy blanket with a hole in top. And Paul's in prison. He doesn't have an electric blanket to keep him warm. He needs some basic necessity. He also wants some intellectual stimulation. He asked for letters. He says, bring parchment. Is this because he wanted to write more letters? Did he want copies of his Old Testament scrolls? Were these legal documents? We're really not sure, but preachers can relate to this because preachers like to read books. I think Paul was asking for his treasures, these things that will bring him comfort. But notice, even a great leader like Paul goes through a wide range of emotions. And it's the same with preachers, the same with ministers. Ministers are human just like everybody else. They go through periods of isolation. They go through periods of loneliness. They go through times of feelings of abandonment. Their children grow up and leave home. Their grandchildren move away. Marriages struggle. Family members die like everyone else. They go through happy times and sadness. C.S. Lewis said, we are born helpless, and as soon as we're born, we discover loneliness. I'll never forget calling and checking on my father. He had ALS for 7 years, and when I was traveling, I would always call him, see how he was doing. And I'll never forget the call when I called Mom to check on him, and I heard these heartbreaking words. Well, your father's about the same, but he keeps talking about how he's going to die, and he misses you. And I said, will you tell Dad that I'm coming home soon, I said, you just tell them to hang on. The whole family is going to be together. And we were. We all got together. We all got to see him. But see, Dad had people around him all the time. His wife was there. Church members were in and out. His extended family was there. Medical people were there. But as he was nearing his life, he wanted to reach out to those that meant the most to him. So whenever we're facing loneliness, don't be afraid to reach out for help. Because we need each other. We need physical company. We need emotional support from one another. Like Paul, focus your attention on those people who didn't give up on you. Focus your attention on the people that are there for you right now, who continue to call you, who continue to support you. There's probably not as many as you'd like, but focus on the ones that really love you. How do we face loneliness and abandonment? The second way is to reveal your hurts. Paul was a great man of God, but he wasn't too big to share his hurts. And he reveals two wounds here in this passage. He reveals that he had been abandoned. I want you to look at verse 9 and 10 one more time. Do your best to come to me quickly, for Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. The reason Paul was hurting so bad is that he really loved Demas. When we read it about Demas in Colossians and Philemon, we see that he was a friend. He was a reliable worker. But something happened, and Paul said he had been forsaken. The original language, depending on the context, means to desert, or to leave helpless, or to totally abandon. Unlike the other people in this passage, Paul says he deserted him. And he did it because he loved the world. Was Demas afraid that if he stuck around, he was going to have to testify for Paul? That he wouldn't end up being persecuted like Paul? We don't really know. It doesn't say he left the faith. It says he left Paul. Paul is revealing this hurt, and it bothered him so much, and he felt utterly forsaken. There's nothing wrong with talking about such things. So let me just share something with you that's going to be kind of direct. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but this is a reality. There are adult children that should be visiting their parents and their grandparents. They should be calling them. They should at least be texting them. But they say they're just too busy. They have other priorities. Now, I'm not saying they're not a Christian. Don't get me wrong. But they are making poor choices here. And it leaves their parents and it leaves their grandparents feeling very forgotten. So listen very close to me. If you have a Christian or a close friend who calls you and needs help, please, 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 please don't turn them away. Please don't say, I'm too busy. Please don't not return their phone call. Don't say, I'll get around to it. I'll be there. And never show up and not follow through. Because that leaves a stinging abandonment and God notices. Now another wound that Paul reveals. He says that he had been harmed. Look over here. This is in verses 14 and 15. Alexander the medical worker did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him for what he's done. You too should be on your guard against him because he strongly opposed our message. So what did Alexander do to harm Paul? Paul's dealing with the Roman court system. It could be that he testified against Paul or he publicly accused Paul in the marketplace. In the Roman law, they actually had respected citizens that were tasked by Rome to mediate conflicts. So to me, it seems that this man falsely accused Paul. And Paul calls him out. And he tells Timothy, this man is trouble. Watch out for him. Now I realize this is kind of an uncomfortable passage. because we're not accustomed to Christians talking about being harmed. But here Paul is open about it. And this reveals an important truth. Let me just share it from a minister's point of view. Pastors need someone to talk to when they get harmed. And they need to talk about people by name. Christians need to have trusted Christians that they can go to and that they can talk to about their wounds. If somebody wounds you, you have to have somebody to talk to that you can trust that's a godly person. I have trusted Christians that I can call and help me deal with it if somebody harms me. They're trusted people. They're people of integrity. They provide protection. They provide support. Every Christian needs to have someone they can talk to that's a godly person, that they can share what happened, that they can spell out all the details, that they can let off their steam to. That's what Paul is doing here. In this case, Alexander was harming the cause of Christ. He was hurting churches. You know, and it's really a lonely thing when somebody harms you and you can't talk to anybody about it. But Christians must be able to talk about their wounds. We cannot carry our burdens alone. We're not strong enough, but God puts people in our lives to help us. Paul also says, "May the Lord repay him." Now, the Lord is our source and strength and comfort. We don't retaliate when people harm us. We give it over to God. And a true believer believes that God will follow through on his promises. And they're confident that God will deal with people that harm them. And to me, it would be the most terrifying thing ever to fall into the hands of an angry God. So Christians, we're going to face loneliness. We're going to face abandonment. So how do we handle it? The third way is to rejoice in God's care. So let's look back at our text one more time. A couple more verses to finish up our section here. Verse 16. "At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen." Paul says at his first trial, nobody stood with him. Nobody came forward to represent him. Nobody spoke up for Paul. And most of the people in Paul's circle, like Luke, for instance, were Gentiles. They didn't have any standing in a Roman court system. And a lot of people that Paul had his support in were not Roman citizens. But Paul's saying here that there were some people that could have helped out, but they didn't. Paul's attitude is loving. He says, "May it not be held against them." But where is Paul's strength? Verse 17, "But the Lord stood by my side and gave me strength." Some people had forsaken Paul. Some people had harmed him. But he found his word, he found his strength in God. It's the word strengthened here is used 8 times in the New Testament. And here's a scripture that I love, Isaiah 40 and verse 10. "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous hand." Paul remembered that the Lord was with him when everybody else left. He says, "And I was delivered from the lion's mouth." Does that mean he was literally saved? They were going to feed him to the lions? Or does the lion represent Nero? And his trial was just postponed? We don't really know, but either way, God was with him. And God had protected him. So because of this, Paul lives with this assurance that God will always take care of him. He says, "God will rescue me from every evil attack." Paul's eyes are on heaven. He knows that no matter how this is all resolved, no matter what goes on in the courts, God is going to carry him to safety in his eternal kingdom. Well, I'm afraid as long as we live, if you saw the sermon topic and you thought, well, maybe He's going to give me some good news that we don't have to deal with loneliness. I'm sorry. Our abandonment. As long as we're living in this sinful world, we're going to have to deal with periods of abandonment and loneliness. But let me give you a few practical reminders just to help you out here. One reminder, always find your comfort in God. So Christians, God promises never to leave you. He promises to give you comfort, and you can count on Him. People are going to fail you. Circumstances are not going to work out very well. But always find your comfort and strength in God. Another reminder, don't hold people's sins against them. Did you notice in here, after Paul said that he had been abandoned, he says, may it not be held against them. And then in verse 11, he told Timothy to bring someone. He said, get Mark and bring him with you, because Mark is helpful to my ministry. It's interesting what happened. Back in Acts chapter 15, Paul and Barnabas had been traveling companions. They were doing ministry together. They were on their first missionary journey, and Barnabas had taken along his nephew, Mark. And somewhere along the way, Mark just gave up, and he went home. Well, Paul didn't take too kindly to that being left. So they got back, and they were ready to make another missionary journey, and Barnabas said, hey, we should take Mark along. And Paul said, no, we're not taking him. He's a quitter. And they got into a big argument about this whole thing. And so you have these two Christian leaders, and it became so serious that they parted ways. Paul went this way, Barnabas went this way, and they did separate ministry and because they could not agree on Mark. Now, all these years later, Paul's nearing the end of his life, and he tells Timothy, bring Mark. He left the past in the past. Paul needs all the support he can get. So he says, bring my old friend Mark. He knows he will be a help. And Mark had been a disappointment at one time, but he matures and he ends up writing the gospel of Mark. And he ends up spending time with Peter in his later years. And maybe you can think of somebody who disappointed you. Or maybe you disappointed someone. But there comes a time, my friends, when you just put aside your differences. And whoever that is for you, why don't you just forgive? Why don't you stop holding their sins against them? Life is too short. Let me give you one more reminder here. Rekindle past friendships. Paul rekindles this relationship with Mark. And if you look at the last few verses of the chapter, you have all these different names listed in here. Some of them are familiar, Priscilla and Aquila. Some are mentioned only here, but then Paul makes this broad statement where he greets all the brothers and sisters. What were Paul's final words? They were greetings to Christian people, the ones that he missed. He's reaching out to them in love. He knows his life is nearing an end. He wants support. And that's a good way to deal with loneliness. Make some friends. You know, you're never too old to make a new friend. I think it's also good to reach out to people from the past that you haven't seen in a while, because God puts people in your life to help you and to strengthen you. But sometimes you just have to reach out to them and do a little effort. Last month, I got a message from a friend. Now, we have not been close for over 30 years. And I've kept up with him, just like you do, friends. And he's a preacher. And he's had a great preaching career. But preachers, one lives here and one lives here, and you're just so far apart. I just hadn't really been able to catch up with him. But at one time, we were pretty close. And he sent me this message last month. Good morning, brother. I have not shared with you yet, but I need prayer. I've just begun a battle with stage 3 aggressive form of multiple myeloma. I found out about it by spontaneously breaking my arm. It took 21 days to get my arm fixed. This week I start treatments. Thanks for your prayers. So I immediately responded. I got details. I told him I would pray for him. And I have been praying for him every day. But I had been meaning to visit him. And I'd been meaning to for a while. And so that told me I need to visit him. So in my travels last month, I stopped by and saw him. And we caught up and we had prayers. So we've been back in contact. We're talking to each other and I'm praying for him. He has a lot of people praying for him all across the country. So many churches. But he reached out to me. And that's what we need to do. We need to reach out to people from our past. We need to make new friends. We need to rekindle old relationships. But did you see how Paul ended this section of verses? He shared his loneliness. He shared his wounds. But then he's full of praise. Verse 18, to him be glory forever and ever. And I found in my life that praise alleviates loneliness. Praise helps you with discouragement. I think songs of praise actually help heal wounds. So if you are a Christian, then you have this. You've already begun your eternity with God, and you can praise Him. And if you praise Him, whether you're reading the Bible, whether you listen to music, to me it really helps deal with such feelings. But if you are not a Christian, you have a friend. There's a friend that you can reach out to, and he'll never fail you. He'll never abandon you. He'll always be there for you. You can always pray to him. You can always talk to him. And he will always love you, and he will comfort you when you're discouraged. Jesus. So if you give your life to Jesus, I can promise you, you might deal with some periods of loneliness, but you will have someone who will never fail you. The Bible says that we believe and we turn from our sin, we confess Him, and we're baptized, and we begin that promise of eternity with Him. So we're going to be singing, this is out of our hymnals, hymn 543. We're going to sing the first and the last stanza.